Hello there. Today I wanted to share with you some magic marketing techniques. That is, these are strategies that are personally paying off in my business, and I know you could benefit from as well. However, disclaimer here, there's no actual magic involved. It's simply thanks to consistently showing up both online and face to face. Intrigued? Keep listening to find out more. Hello and welcome to the Marketing and Me podcast. If you're eager to learn about effective marketing and copywriting strategies to attract more clients to your health and wellness business, while also building a stronger and more positive mindset, this podcast is for you. I'm your host, Leanne Shelton, and I manage a team of copywriters who understand the health and wellness industry. At Right Time Marketing, we can transform your words from rough ramblings to meaningful messages. We also offer content marketing training to those who want to DIY. Now, before we delve into today's episode, please take a moment to subscribe to the show to ensure you always have easy access to inspiring and actionable tips provided by both myself and my guests. Okay, let's get straight into things. I know you're pretty pumped about this episode. I've had lots of great enthusiasm for this one when I mentioned it. So in the past, I've been asked how I've brought in my leads. And it's usually very varied because I actually don't have a lead magnet right now at time of recording. I do have plans to get some put into my new website, which hopefully either has just launched at the time this is released or very close to it. You know, these things take time. But ultimately, it all comes down to one very important factor, which I'll go into in a moment, and that's what's really helped my business. But apart from that one little factor, content, and it's not content marketing, by the way, content marketing complements that one thing. And as a content marketer, I think it's important to practice what I preach. And if it works for me, I figure that gives me authority to share that advice with others. Okay, Leanne, what's this one thing you're talking about? Tell it to me. Okay, so it is, drum roll, networking. Aha, got you. I know any regular listeners would know that I'm a massive fan of networking, and so many of my guests in the past have come through that way, that channel. And I know so many of you out there are probably totally freaked out by the whole idea of getting out in a room of people you don't know, other business owners who are going to judge you, and you know, you're worried about getting business cards shoved in your hands and being forced to do business with people. Now, I don't know, which groups you've been going to, if that's the case, or if that's just the story you've painted for yourself. But for me, the groups that I go to, it's not the case at all. And I'm involved with a few groups. So there's the Sydney Hills Business Chamber, where I'm an education partner. And actually, I am helping them launch a podcast, which should be about to start at the time of this release. And I'm also with BX Networking, where a lot of guests have come through. And I've also recently joined Women with Altitude. Now, each of those groups have a very different vibe. So just for example, the Business Chamber, a lot more larger organizations join that one, you know, more companies, corporate, those who have money, so therefore are more likely to invest in my services. So it works very well if you are in the B2B space, you know, or providing health and wellness of services and products that could benefit their clients, or, you know, or their own, so like their own needs. And those events I go to are after fives. So they don't make an impact on, you know, day-to-day work. I go after work and it's a lot more social, very casual. You mingle in a room, and the Sydney Hills Chamber does it especially well. They have a group of connectors. So it's a team with bright orange vests that you can't lose track of, and they have a list of all attendees. So you go up to them, you go, hey, I'm looking for someone who can, you know, who either could be a potential client or potential affiliate or partner. And that's a really great way to get a formal introduction, and then just have a chat over a, a glass of wine, which is really nice. They also have a guest speaker a lot of the time, and then it's, you know, a bit of an educational thing as well. So that's a chamber. Now, BX, that is a little bit more structured. You may be familiar with BNI, which I'm not a member of, but it's got a rough format to your meetings. It's a fortnightly meeting you can go fortnightly or you can go to multiple groups. And in that, it's all about the referrals and making those connections. And I'm a big fan of that, which, yeah, I'll go into shortly. I don't want to bring it in too soon. But yeah, it's all about those referrals and connecting with people outside the room. So yeah, you're connecting with those who are there in the room, but it's all about who the people in the room know outside of the room. So that's another great one. And Women with Altitude, oh, and just as well that, in terms of the people that go, you get a good mix of the micro business owners as well as like the bigger guys. Now, Women with Altitude, so that's a new one I'm getting involved with. So obviously, predominantly women. There could be some men there. I know at the conference beginning of the year, there were some men in the crowd, but obviously a different vibe again. And a lot more health and wellness business owners there, which is why I'm like, oh, I love this space. Obviously, they're my people and potential, you know, target market as well. But yeah, it's a lot more, I guess, once again, just like the chamber, connecting on that deeper level. So at none of these do I ever feel overly intimidated. Look, I am an extrovert, not an introvert. But for all the introverted people out there, here's my little tip. You're probably nervous because you're thinking too much about you. Just to say it, just to put it straight, you're probably thinking about yourself. Oh, how are they going to see me? Oh, what are they going to think of what I'm wearing? What are they going to think of my business? Are they going to think it's woo-woo if you are a bit more on the alternative side of things? But if you flip your mindset to curiosity, who's going to be in the room? Who can I learn from? Who is, you know, who's an interesting person that I could get to know who could potentially help my business? Because that's the thing from networking as well. It's not just about going out and finding clients. It's also about finding affiliates. It's also about finding people that you can learn and grow from. So from my own personal experiences, I've found business coaches. I've found website designers. I've found my bookkeeper. I found my VA. I found all these things that have helped grow my business. I've found through connections through these networking groups, because you get to know, like, and trust people face to face casually, and then it eventually turns into this support. And many of that stuff I got for free. My first website was free. My first logo design was free because I made a really great connection with someone. Heaps of business coaching advice for free, which, you know, then later on I paid someone a bit more for. So think of it that way. How could you learn and grow from the people around you? What have they got to offer? And think about that more than how are they going to see me? So, okay, now I've kind of given you this backstory to networking. I want to now bring in the marketing techniques. These things have basically had more power because of the networking connected to it. Because networking, especially, I mean, look, the last couple of years, it was a little bit hard to do networking properly. We had to do virtual networking via Zoom. That's not the same thing, because people want to get to know the humans behind the brand. And that's what networking lets you do. So three examples of how I've had clients come in to my business lately are starting with networking, the first one, which then went to LinkedIn and then turned into a blog retainer. The second one started with networking, then they heard me on a podcast, and then it's turning into a website project. The third one started with networking, then it turned to forming connections with website designers, and then it turned into regular work. Let me expand on these now. So for the first one, networking. Okay, so I met someone just casually at a business chamber after five event, had a brief, honestly, 5-10 minute chat, probably it. But we then connected on LinkedIn. And this is a big strategy that I highly recommend. When you meet someone, connect on LinkedIn. If you don't have a LinkedIn profile, please get it happening. And because you know what happens once you connect with them, all your posts, your future posts in the, you know, near future, come up on the newsfeed first. because with the algorithm, it's like, that's a new connection. You're obviously interested in that person and what they have to say. So what will probably happen, and also if you send them a private message, it will enhance the algorithm even more, they will see what you're posting. And that all helps drive that relationship out a little bit further, helps build that connection. Because first they met you face-to-face, then they're seeing you regularly on LinkedIn. So make sure you're posting regularly for those people to give them that content to follow and be engaged with. There's been many times where I've gone to a networking event, like last night, for example, and someone's come up and said, oh, so you're a finalist in these awards and I can see you doing that and that. Yeah, sounds a bit stalkerish, but it's because of socials. They are kept in the loop and know where I'm at. I'm staying top of mind. So in the one example I wanted to tell you about, there was one person I met through networking. We connected on LinkedIn, and I actually forgot we were connected on LinkedIn. And then he came up to me at one event, at a business chamber event, and he's like, oh, hey, I liked you dancing with your dad, because I'd shared a video of my dad and I dancing for the Cancer Council with the Stars of Western Sydney fundraiser I recently did at the beginning of the year. And it made me remember, oh, okay, oh, I forgot that we were connected on LinkedIn. You kind of don't always realize who's following you unless they're liking and commenting. And I don't think he was. But within about a month, even less, random email from him saying, hey, would you better help me with my blogs? And his reasoning was he's been writing blogs for years, but he admits they sound dry because once he writes them, when he starts writing them himself, he goes into essay writing mode, which many people are guilty of, not just him, probably yourself as well. And so it just comes across very dry. So he said, I want to bring more energy to them. Can you help with that? Okay. Why did he pick me? Probably because he saw my energy on LinkedIn, doing these silly little videos, the wording that I use in my posts. I'm all very quirky. And so he thought, I need to get this done. Leanne's the person for me. And so it's become a regular blog retainer. So that's the first example. He's been really happy with the results so far, by the way. The second example is started with networking. This is also the business chamber. And then it turned into, I took up an opportunity to be a podcast guest. And I'm not always the host. So when I was the guest, within a week of that episode being released, I ran a message on LinkedIn from this person who I'd met a few months ago at a chamber event. And she's like, oh, we recently met, don't know if you remember, but I heard you on Jane's podcast and I would love it if you could help me with my website project. So if she just had heard me on Jane's podcast, would she have reached out? Maybe, because obviously I would have shown a lot of my personality and knowledge on that episode. But the fact we had also previously met would have been an extra driving factor. Because remember, you need a minimum of like 7 touch points. I think now they say up to like 20 or something. The number keeps changing. 20 touch points, 7 touch points, whatever it is, multiple touch points before they'll ask for the sale. So she met me at networking. She heard me on a podcast. And then she wanted to get a website audit and website done, copy done. Now, the third example I want to talk about also started with networking. And that has led to connections with website designers. Now, this one, I kind of touched upon this a bit earlier in terms of building the affiliates and partnerships. And I was saying this to someone last night, actually, who said work's been a little bit slow. If you are always focusing on the end client and work's not coming in, sometimes you can come across as being desperate and too salesy. You can't help it, right? Because you're like, I really need this business. However, this is what I did back in September last year. I flipped my strategy a bit. Rather than going, hey, who needs a blog? You need a website redone? Hey. Instead, I went to the website designers, the website developers, marketing strategists, SEO experts, other people in the marketing space who would benefit from a copywriter on hand. Website designers in particular have seemed to be quite successful with this arrangement because I could pinpoint their pain point. They or only do the graphic design, the design of the website, that, you know, optimize for SEO and all that. However, the copy is a massive part of a website. And quite often, clients hesitate, procrastinate, and don't supply that content to get that project wrapped up. So their project's put on hold while they're waiting for the content, or the content comes through and it's crap and it doesn't complement their beautiful design. And all this as well affects their cash flow if projects are put on hold, especially if they've got payment plans and last installment's not till, you know, it's done. So by reaching out to them, it becomes more of a win-win scenario. I'm getting work from them and they are tying up their projects, looking great to their clients, whether they white label or just referring. They look great as being helpful and getting this extra source, this resource to make them sound good. So what I do, like BX was saying before, big on referrals. So it's all about, I always ask for website designers. And then people go, oh, cool, I know website designer. Everyone knows at least one because they should have their own website. Unless they're not happy with the result, that's another story. And then I get connected to them. And then I start a conversation with them. And then I line up monthly 15-minute check-ins. So we remain top of mind for each other. Because I don't know about you, but there's been some amazing people I've met and then completely forgotten about because this life goes on. So look, we have 15 minutes in the calendar every month. We may cancel it, postpone it, whatever the case may be, but we still see each other's names and we're reminding each other that we exist and there's opportunities to work together there. So I was saying this to someone last night and I said to her, okay, so she's interior styling. Hey, Susie. And I said, well, why don't you form connections with real estate agents? And she said, oh, I kind of have. I said, are you really developing those relationships, like really strengthening them up so you're always chatting with them? No. So I said, well, let's try that because it's honestly helping me. I've given the same advice to a business coach too, who said, oh, I do all this, all this coaching, but there's so many coaches out there. How do I compete? I said, well, why don't you connect with the bookkeepers, the accountants, those who help also helping people grow their business, and they can refer you. And it hadn't even occurred to her. So try that in your business. If you are offering beauty products, look for other beauty product companies who can form little packages with, little packs that you promote on Instagram, and then you're both getting that exposure. Or it's beauty services. So is there a massage therapy person that you can work with and say, hey, can you refer your clients to get facials with me? It's another pampering thing. And then, and form packages, even if you can work from their space. All these kinds of opportunities are there if you think differently and go for the partnerships rather than the end client. It's really made a big difference to me. I mean, about 80% of my work actually comes through the website designers now. And the rest, obviously, these little ones through the networking stuff too. But it's just been a massive game changer for me because they become a cheerleader. And then their clients have a great experience. They then come back or refer me. It works really well. So not exactly magic, but here are some marketing techniques that have really been working for me. And I just want to put out there so you get inspired and try it out yourself. I thank you for listening to this episode. You can find show notes at marketingandme.com.au. If you enjoyed listening, please subscribe and leave me a rating or review via Apple Podcasts or your podcast platform of choice, and grab a screenshot of this episode and share it across your socials to get the message out there. If you're interested in connecting with me, feel free to reach out via LinkedIn. Just search for Leanne Shelton and let me know you're a fan of the show. You can also find me on Instagram under LeanneShelton247 or book in a free 15-minute chat through the show notes. Because I'd absolutely love to chat about how I can help you grow a thriving health and wellness business. Until next time, I wish you good health and good wealth.